Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
This weather's playing havoc with my wardrobe. It's hard to wear shorts today.
Right, but you still can wear the open-toed shoes.
You know, that's not something I currently own. I'm not sporting those. Uh-oh, let's dance. Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going. Yes, I'm going. Don't worry, I don't know what he's singing either. The Steve Cochran Show, number 908, starts, well, about right now. We'll do the top six at six. I almost said the big six at six. The top six at six. Six stories we know that you're going to be talking about at some point today, or somebody's going to be talking to you about them. Later on in studio, a couple of great guests on the phone, Willie Geist, and check in on somebody who's kind of a, you know, a repeat for the program, but a family that's been devastated by a horrific and incredibly rare childhood disease. And the father has become an advocate for rare disease research in general, but in specific, what the family's gone through. They've lost a child, and they've got a lot to say about it, so we're happy to have them on. And then a congressman you will know.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He's our buddy from the North Side.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. A lot of inside jokes there, why the giggling's going on. But it's too long to explain them, I guess, right?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, let's do the top six at six.
Now it's time to move on to a little something we call...
The Steve Cochran Show presents the top six at six.
That's the best number I've heard yet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
Six.
Lucky guess.
My favorite number is six.
The top six at six on 720 WGN.
The president is leaving on a jet plane. We know how long he'll be gone, 9 days. There is a concern on this foreign trip about what he's going to eat. But fortunately, in most countries, he can still get KFC and McDonald's. Not kidding. Those are among his favorites. And he also likes his steak. I read this last night. He likes his steak burned to the point where it rattles the plate. And then he floods it with ketchup.
Awful. It's so, I mean...
Well, you know, I mean, the man likes his steak charred.
Dead.
So, I think you cook food, you know? I don't know.
You know, I know.
Put ketchup on steak, really?
Yeah. Yeah. He's an interesting fella, that president. President Trump denying any collusion between his campaign and Russia said the appointment of a special counsel to investigate the matter was a witch hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And dividing the U.S., the president said on Thursday... in a press conference with the president of Colombia, that he respects the process, but it's a witch hunt. No, you don't. You can't have it both ways.
No. And by the way, Tim Peterson pointed out yesterday, I think on Twitter or Facebook, that it would actually be a warlock hunt.
Yeah, it's
a
fair point.
If he was going to use the correct terms.
Technically, that's accurate. Yeah. It is a warlock hunt. And the congressman whose district includes Salem, Massachusetts, chimed in.
Yeah. How about that?
Said, you want to know witch hunts?
We got a witch hunt
for you.
They have a witch museum, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's great. Wasn't Cher one of the witches?
That's Eastwick. It's different.
Oh, different district.
Yes.
Okay. That first overseas trip I just mentioned starts today in Saudi Arabia, which is negotiating a $100 billion arms deal with the U.S., and of course, if you're going to negotiate $100 billion in arms, what you want is a real estate dealer from New York, Jared Kushner.
I was going to say, who's available? Part of it. Oh, Jared Kushner.
So weird. Just so weird. That also goes to the fact that there's an election today in Iran, and there's a lot going on in the Middle East as the president arrives. If he sticks to the teleprompter, we should be okay. If he ad-libs, not so good. For instance, if he gives the Coast Guard commencement speech in Saudi Arabia, not so good. So it'll be interesting to see what he has to say. I'm asking you, Mr. President, and I know we don't have much of a relationship, but I'm asking you, please stick to the teleprompter. Even though there's a little bit of a concern because the person writing the speech is one of the more radical young nut jobs in the White House, Steve Miller.
I almost said Bannon. Yeah. By the way, do you think now that he's out of the country, it's kind of like the cat's away? You think Kellyanne Conway and Spicer, they're all, you know,
I think Pence is measuring for drapes. Next. Prosecutors in Sweden in the last hour have announced that, just this morning, in the last hour have announced that they're dropping the charges against, or I shouldn't say dropping the charges, they're dropping the case.
Investigation.
Against Julian Assange. Now, you would think that means he can walk out of the Ecuadorian embassy, and the Ecuadorian embassy folks would go, that'd be great. But as it turns out, he has some sort of bail jumping charge against him. And the Brits say, oh, yeah, walk out. Please walk out.
Uh-huh.
The minute he walks out, the UK's authorities say they will arrest him. And, of course, since we have a great relationship with the United Kingdom, obviously, and we have extradition treaties with them, he'd then be sent here to face charges. But he is a coward, and he will likely stay in hiding.
I think at some point, though, we will see him face trial here.
Well, I hope so.
I really do.
It's been way too long already. You know, he's been in that embassy for 5 years.
Can you believe that?
Just somebody comes over. Hey, can you hide me out for the weekend? 5 years later, he's still there. What's for dinner?
Did you see his cat come to the window this morning?
Oh, I didn't know he had a cat.
Apparently, he has a cat, and it's wearing like a little bow tie or something this morning. It came to the window.
How did they let him have a cat?
That cat could talk.
So he must be in there just going crazy, dressing up his cat in little tie out.
Yeah.
Can you see the embassy? Not you want a cat now? Come on.
Right.
That's good.
We
not
cook
good.
For you. We clean.
Yesterday, a car ran into a bunch of pedestrians at Times Square in New York. If you've been to that area of New York in the past few years, there are truck barricades that are up all over. This individual somehow managed to miss a few of them and then finally hit one and was stopped. When he was arrested, the immediate thought was terrorism and what happened in London not so long ago. But as it turns out, he was on PCP, and he said God made him do it.
Right. Psychological issues.
Yeah, voices in his head.
Yeah. He'll hear a lot of those in prison. He'll be taken away to some sort of mental facility to first get off the PCP and then secondarily see what happens from there.
Did you see how far this car drove,
before
it went to Times Square? It was like at least four full city blocks.
And how in Midtown Manhattan you could even get up the speed to get through those barriers, because everything's gridlocked around there.
Yeah,
it's
true.
And you're right, Steve. I mean, it's very hard to even navigate the sidewalk as a pedestrian. I don't know how you'd get a car up there, but this could have been so much more devastating than it was.
Right? And plus, it was a beautiful day yesterday in New York. The sidewalks were packed. 22 injured, one dead. The one dead, an 18-year-old kid.
Right, from
tourist.
Michigan.
That is the saddest story. And her sister was there and watched. Oh,
just ridiculous.
She's injured. So sad.
We have Chicago news here. Mayor Rahm Emanuel will call for the district to borrow hundreds of millions of dollars to get through the school year and make a massive pension payment. How does that's due on June 30th. How does that work? Does like the mayor go into the bank and sits down with a loan officer and goes, we're going to need hundreds of millions of dollars?
I don't think the mayor himself does that. He has people. He has a budget staff who does that, lawyers, financial experts. But they do need to borrow the money, that's for sure.
So the city doesn't come in, sit down, and a loan officer goes, let me run your credit. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't check our credit. Well, let me run the state's credit. No, definitely don't do that.
There were some of these schools that they actually thought they were in such poor financial shape that they might close before the end of the school year, for sure by the opening of next school year. And the mayor said, no, they'll stay open through the rest of the year, and they should be okay for the start of the school year in September after Labor Day. So he's gonna unveil another financial plan, too.
I disagree with the mayor on several things. I agree with the mayor on several things, but I do know he cares about the schools, and he cares about making the schools work. Now, if you're in a district or you're listening this morning in a school that you feel is under threat, and certainly in the toughest neighborhoods where some of the schools have felt particularly beleaguered, you may not feel that's the case. But it's a big city with a lot of responsibilities, and there's a lot of things that have to be done, and some of them you don't want to know about, I'm sure. But I think he'll do what he needs to do to keep the schools open.
Including a likely tax hike, too. So expect to see that.
And Andre would like to announce her moving sale.
Exactly, right. My flash sale.
And finally, General Mills has given away boxes of all marshmallow Lucky Charms to 10,000 winners.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, I winners? Love
Lucky You're a
charm.
Winner if you get that?
Yeah. Didn't you ever eat Lucky Charms as a kid and then you'd push all the marshmallows to the side and you'd eat the crunchy part and then save the marshmallows for last?
So this is all marshmallows?
Yeah.
See, I didn't like the marshmallows.
They're the best
part.
That
was the best part of it.
Like best them. Part of the cereal.
Oh,
I don't like marshmallows, period.
Well, Dennis are going to love this.
Dennis are sponsoring it.
Then why would you get it if you don't, I mean, don't buy it then. You know, just
I didn't buy it. I was a kid. I was forced to eat it.
Oh, they're the best.
Your mouth was held open. Yeah. Lucky Charms were forced
no
out your
charms.
Throat.
Silly rabbit.
No, we only had it a couple times. So, 6:20, we'll come back with Lou next. There's your top six. And if you want to be the top caller, first caller, big caller, as Steve has trouble running his mouth, it's 312-981-7200. Of course, we have prizes for you. We'll come back with Lou after Mary does traffic and a little bit of business.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
6:25, Lou Manfredini live at Channel 9. Good morning to you.
How are you, my friend?
What do you think of the new set?
Well, I was in there briefly, and I feel like they lied to me.
What do you mean?
Well, when they said everything was going to be new, I walk in, and all the same people are there.
Yeah, you know what? They should have replaced the people.
Yeah. I mean, and when I look at it now, I think Larry Potash's head looks even bigger.
If you were going to change everything, change everything.
That's what I thought. I mean, as I said, keep Robin, get rid of everybody else.
All right. How'd McElroy feel about that?
Well, she was moving anyway.
Okay.
Right. So I didn't feel like I offended her.
No. And the rest of them, get out.
But I walked in and I was like, wait a minute. Wait, you said it was all new. I was looking for Rob Elgus and, you know, somebody else from another station.
No, don't look for Rob
all
Elgus.
All the same people.
Are you wearing the mandatory blue?
No, I'm not.
I'm told that blue is the mandatory
color.
Oh,
is it the color to make it work, look good? Yeah.
I'm going to run to a Kohl's.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't get the memo.
Dennis from Chicago is standing by. He's the first caller and is going to be a big winner. Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
No, thank you for calling. Sponsored by American Weathermakers. Now, what is your question for Lou?
Lou, I have an old Chicago bungalow, and I keep having the recurring problem that the common brick along the foundation crumbles.
Yeah.
Some of my neighbors have covered it with tar. I was told not to do that. Some have painted over it.
Right.
I've had people tell me to splash vinegar on it. Do you have any suggestions?
The vinegar trick works great on a salad, but not for your bricks. okay. You know, the issue with those old Chicago common bricks is they're super soft, and over time, especially what's down at the ground level, I'm assuming you probably have a brick foundation too. Is that fair or no? Do you have a concrete foundation?
A concrete foundation.
Okay. Those lower bricks should really be, you should hire a tuck pointer to come and pull those out and install new brick in its place. The Chicago common that you'll get now that's fired matches pretty closely. It's a structural issue as well. I mean, the tar trick or putting some sort of cementitious coat over the top of it doesn't do anything for the structure, and that's what we're worried about. And someday when you go to sell, some inspector's going to come along and say, yeah, I don't like this. I don't know why it's covered up. And then you're going to spend all this time and effort trying to figure out how to disclose and or appease the inspector as to what you did. So if it were me, I would save a little bit of money to get in the budget to hire a tuck pointer to come out, you know, surgically grab all those damaged bricks, pull them out. They're going to grind around the mortar, pop them out, put new ones in, finish it all off. And then you could put some type of sealer on there that wasn't really available 100 years ago on this brick that will prolong its life, which when I mean prolong it, it'll be 50 years before anything happens.
Sounds like a pretty good plan, Dennis. Plus, when you go inside, you can enjoy an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat, allowing you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone. It's brought to you by American Weathermakers, home of the 60 Minute Man, 855-955-HVAC. Hold on, Dennis. We'll get you all the details on that. I was talking to someone yesterday, a friend of mine, and I don't know if this person wants me to mention their name or what they do or give them credit for this, but I thought this was a great idea, and I was thinking of you, Lou.
Okay.
She's very busy in her life, and she asked her mom to help out with certain things. And then we started talking about dads. And, you know, you get to a certain point when your kids are grown, where they don't need you as much, and you sort of like when they do. And then if you get to a point where you're retired and you've got the extra time, mm-hmm. why not have a business where, like, a dad or a mom could run errands for you? And if your own kids don't ask, you got a business set up,
That's
right?
That's a great idea.
You're like a personal valet.
Yeah, but but they're going to be doing it with care because it's a mom or a dad. Hmm. Huh? What do you think?
That's not bad. What are we going to call it?
I don't know. I didn't have a name for it. You got one?
Daddy for Rent?
Okay, now it sounds like a website you shouldn't visit at work.
Maybe like Parent Valet or something more catchy.
Yeah, or something less internet troubling. Texters, 269. Hey, Lou, crabgrass sucks. I don't know if that's an agree or disagree.
Yeah. It does. And the thing is, you need to try and get a pre-emergent down now. Actually, we're talking about weed control on the WGN Morning TV show this morning. There's a lot of different products out there to use. One of the ones brand new this season that I'm going to talk about is everyone's familiar with Roundup, which is a highly strong and, registered product. You have to be very careful when you use it. They now created a product which I think will cause some confusion in the market that's called Roundup for Lawns. Roundup always was a total kill, and this one now is supposed to be applied and not kill your lawn but kill the weeds. But with crabgrass, right now as it's starting to flower and those leaves are nice and broad, putting down a pre-emergent even now will help. And so if you're going to get into one of these four-step programs, whomever's it is, it doesn't really matter what the maker, now you'd put down that weed and feed, and within a couple of weeks you should see a big difference, and you can add, after a couple of weeks, put some more seed down.
Dave, you have a lawn issue?
Well, I had just a follow-up on Roundup because I had asked Lou 2 weeks ago about weed control, and you'd recommended it, and I was using it. And just a cautionary tale,
right?
I was refilling my pump sprayer.
Oh, is this the thing you sprayed in your eyes?
Yeah, well, I didn't spray it in my eyes, but I splashed it in my eyes.
Right.
So Lou,
the nozzle goes away from you.
Yes, I'm wondering if you should wear safety goggles while refilling the Roundup pump sprayer.
I'll tell you what, with this Roundup product, and it's a point I make to people all the time, the farmers that listen to WGN are very familiar with this product. The restrictions on it, in particular what the farmers use, is even a higher concentration. So the safety precautions of using this are very important. Gloves, no short sleeves, no flip-flops, Dave. And safety glasses are kind of a must whenever you're working around the house. And here's this is coming from
a guy. Another product that's not so dangerous?
Well, I mean, the thing is, in the world of everything being organic, it's those bad chemicals that do the best job. But if this is something you don't want to mess with, don't. But if it is, you have to follow all the precautions. And I guarantee you, Dave, on that bottle, it says to wear safety glasses.
Look, you got two eyes for a reason. You lose one, you got the other one.
That's right. I want to know how often Dave refills his pump sprayer.
Every day.
Well, he's got that giant lawn. Remember, he's got that house that's like South Fork.
Yeah, it's
like
a wilderness.
He's like J.R. Ewing.
It's like a menagerie.
Yeah, it took me like a week.
He likes to,
then he's got that one corner of the yard that always gives him the problem.
Ooh, he likes to fill up a super soaker.
My buckthorn is exploding.
Miss Ellie's.
Setup and the pitch.
Yep.
Yeah, he's got a super soaker full of Roundup.
Miss Ellie's on the porch with the lemonade.
847 helping texter, my friend at a business called Rent a Daughter. She helps seniors in Chicago when their family lived out of town.
Yeah.
Again, the internet's mean. Steve, call your new business Cochran Plumbing. That's a reference to the ID theft. That's hilarious, you little criminal listener. America Weathermakers brought you this. Lou's not going to go be on TV. And, I have to say the lighting is very complimentary to Larry's beautiful eyes.
It is. He's a handsome fellow.
All right. See you.
Love you, people.
Have a good show.
Thanks, Lou.
Hear Lou tomorrow morning on the Mr. Fixer program every Saturday morning on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Yeah. Hey. 644, Steve Cochran Show. Whitney Cross is here in studio. I want to talk about UNICEF, the Kid Power Celebration. You know, I think UNICEF, when I was a little kid back in the 70s when dinosaurs roamed the earth. And Dave, you might remember this. Remember the trick-or-treat for UNICEF?
Absolutely.
We had our little orange boxes.
Yep.
And we'd go around and we'd ask for money. Mm-hmm. And, some of the houses you'd go to, maybe they wouldn't be so cooperative. And I don't know about you, Dave, but we'd then break in. We'd break in, go in, and look for loose change.
We didn't do that. But what I do remember is that you would get a couple of pennies on Halloween, and it was you were very grateful for that. That meant a lot back then.
Pennies in the 70s, and this is just a rough...
Explain what pennies are.
Rough equivalent, but pennies are copper things with Lincoln's face on them. And pennies now don't have a lot of value. But say 1975, I'm 13, 14 years old. You were in your 40s. And pennies then were worth over $1 million, as you know.
Well, yeah, could go to the candy store with pennies and get a ton of stuff. It was awesome.
Whitney, I don't know what they're talking about.
Notice how Mary Vanderbilt sounds like a grandmother now.
Hey, back in my day, I don't sound like that, do I?
Talk about the Kid Power Celebration, and welcome to the show. What is it?
Yeah, of course. I'm happy to talk about the program. So you mentioned Trick or Treat for UNICEF,
yeah.
And we're really excited because this program kind of continues our Kids Helping Kids legacy that
Which
Trick or Treat for UNICEF started. The program was born out of the fact that only one in four kids here in the U.S. is getting enough activity, while at the same time, one in four kids globally is malnourished. And so this program marries those two issues by empowering kids to address both of those things.
Get off the couch and help others.
Exactly. So kids here in the United States wear our UNICEF Kid Power bands, and quite literally with every step, they're empowered to end global malnutrition.
It's a cool idea. It's a very cool idea. And I would argue that without UNICEF in the 70s, people like me wouldn't have known what charity was about. It's not like our parents were taking us aside going, let's figure out something we can do together.
Yeah.
So I salute the program. How do kids get involved?
So we actually have about 11,000 Chicago school students that are currently involved right now.
Okay, but they're the ones that already get it.
Yep. So they're involved through our school program. If you want to get involved with your family,
right.
You can purchase a band at Target. But we've actually made it easier than ever to get involved. No band required. We just released a new version of our UNICEF Kid Power app, which you can sync to your health kit on your phone. And
no,
by
cool.
just walking around and doing your daily activity, you can help our students in Chicago and the rest of our Kid Power team unlock packets of necessary therapeutic food for children worldwide.
And talk about those packets. This is really cool because kids can get involved and feel like they're actually helping out by earning points. And
yes.
then talk about these food packets, too. These are really cool.
Yeah. So for every 10 points that kids earn with their activity, they unlock these packets of ready-to-use therapeutic food. And these packets are pretty impressive. We call them miracle foods sometimes. There's about 500 calories per packet and tastes like peanut butter, maybe a little sweeter. So something that people like the flavor of. They're easy to ship. They don't need to be mixed with water. And by eating three packets a day for 30 to 60 days, a child who is severely malnourished can go from being malnourished to being fully healthy.
Is that right?
Month. Yep.
That's amazing.
They're incredible.
And that's something that you could show a kid, here's a goal, and there's the touchdown.
Yep, exactly.
You know, the finish line. This started, how recently, as far as the idea go, the germination of the idea? Because it sounds like, what was the thing last summer where kids were walking out and chasing Pokemon?
Oh, yeah, Pokemon Go.
Pokemon Go.
Because I'd love this to be the summer thing.
I would love it for it to be the summer thing, too, and that's what we're hoping for in Kid Power Month this month. It started... within the past 5 years, so last year was the first year that Chicago public school students were getting involved, but it's something we've been working on for 5 or so years.
It's cool, because when kids feel like they can get involved with something and actually make a difference and help out, then that'll inspire them to take the philanthropic route.
Yeah, it's an introduction to philanthropy for them, and it really does show them that they can make a difference regardless, even if they're not able to give money.
The fact that you have 11,000 kids already involved is pretty impressive. How have you done the recruiting?
So we have been working closely with CPS, and they've been incredibly supportive. But we're also relying on teachers to tell one another about the program. And that's been
the teachers
just word
that are listening
mouth.
Right now who are just hearing about it for the first time, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. So just word of mouth has been incredibly helpful as well. And those 11,000 students in the past 2 months have unlocked over 110,000 packets of ready-to-use therapeutic food just in Chicago. So
the Kid Power Celebration is going to be tomorrow at the Children's Museum. This is a great venue. If your kids have not, this would be good for Abigail, Steve. If you haven't seen the Children's Museum at Navy Pier, it's fantastic.
Yep. She's very advanced. She's managing it now. She's only a year and a half old, but she's running the joint.
But it's such a great venue, and they have the Star Wars exhibit now, too.
Yep, we're so excited about the venue, and they've been incredibly supportive. We're so excited to be there tomorrow from 10 to 3, and would love for anyone to come out to join us.
Fun. Yeah. It's like a fun day. And the cool thing is, the am I right about this? The Children's Museum, it's still indoors. They haven't moved it outside.
It's indoors.
And tomorrow could be a little sloppy weather-wise, and you're thinking, what's a cool thing I can do with my kids?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Right there.
It's actually fun for the adults, too. Sometimes they have to say, please don't play in the blocks. Please don't jump into the ball.
It was only one time.
I know.
Yeah. Website for more information?
UNICEFKidPower.org.
And how'd you get in this business?
You know, I went on a trip with my family, and I went to a different country, and I'd never seen poverty to the scale that I saw in this
particular place.
And this is when I was 12 years old, and I did a ton of research, and over again, UNICEF's name kept popping up as an organization that was making a difference.
Sure.
And so when I moved to Chicago to go to Loyola, I found out they had a UNICEF office here, interned with their office, and absolutely fell in love with their mission and the work that they were doing, and of course, my colleagues here. So
well, good for you. And obviously, the rest of it is you got into it for the big money.
Oh, yeah.
Right, of course.
You're part of the best people working to actually change the world. So thank you for being here. You know, life's complicated. People are complicated. And I think all of us know somebody in your life who is not a very popular person amongst a lot of people, but you like them for the reasons you like them, or maybe they impacted your life for the reason they did. So Roger Ailes comes up yesterday in regards to everything related to Fox, right? And Matt Taibbi is a great writer for Rolling Stone, wrote a piece last night, said Roger Ailes is one of the worst human beings in history. You can line up people from here to Kingdom Come that that don't like him all the way to hate him. I hate what he did to women, and I have no doubt that they are telling the truth. But the only knowledge I ever had of Roger Ailes was, you know, interviews when he was pushing a book. I didn't work for him. I had no life experience with him. Shepard Smith did. And I don't know Shepard Smith. But Shepard Smith, who is a key Fox News anchor and does their, 2 o'clock show, our time, opened his show yesterday with a 12-minute monologue on the death of Roger Ailes and what he meant to him. And I found myself during the course of the monologue questioning the fact that I was softening on Roger Ailes. I mean, it was that powerful. It was very personal. And he talked about the fact that Roger Ailes was there for him. He acknowledged the victims. In the middle of it, he said, and then we found out this about Roger Ailes, you know, this other part of his life. And the truth is, people do live in silos. You look at Bill Cosby.
Oh, my God.
My experience with Bill Cosby up until what we all now know is an incredibly sick criminal man is one of the greatest comedians ever. And that's another silo, right? That thing still exists. The fact is, he's one of the great comics of all time. But he's also this terrible person. So I salute Shepard Smith for his courage and for saying goodbye to his friend while still acknowledging it's complicated, as he did several times throughout it. I just invite you to have an open mind and take a look at it if you see it online. Here's a clip.
It was complicated. So much here was and is. But it was working. In New Orleans after Katrina, as the calm after the storm quickly exploded, he called me. Asking, what's happening there? Excuse me, I gotta get a tissue. I told him the levees may break and the city may flood, and we may need a lot more resources here and facilities to live without services for a long time. Got it. I'm sending the cavalry. And he did. He was my champion and my mentor. My father in Mississippi was there for me, no doubt. He's the greatest man ever. But Roger was a father figure too. We talked of it often. I never left his office, never once, no matter how uncomfortable the overall experience might have been, without finishing with the big embrace and those comforting, telling words from Mr. Ailes. Keep up the good work. I love you. I loved him.
It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing eulogy. And it doesn't change the fact that Roger Ailes and what he did to those women is horrific. But it also doesn't change the fact that Shepard Smith's experience with him was incredibly important to him and personal. So it's just, I thought it was an interesting reflection, you know, life's complicated. People are complicated. Roger Ailes, meanwhile, avoids going to jail because he died. It remains to be seen what happens to the various civil suits that are involved, going forward as well. It's 6:58, you know, it's coming in here in a few minutes. Well, is Stacey coming in?
She'll be coming in, yeah.
Okay, Stacey will be in with us in a couple of minutes. Stacey Sinclair. It's another follow-up story. We have so many stories that get caught in a news cycle, and then we never get to finish them. the College of DuPage story. So we'll get to that coming up. But first, at 6:58, quick break. Back with the news on 720 WG. Tribute to Bill Withers here, right? From our friend John DeCons.
When my early morning day begins and the sunlight hits my face.
I was thrilled last night. I was doing some show prep and I see a picture.
I've got the sound of WG.
It's George Clinton.
720 locked in
from Parliament, a band that I was with.
Now I've tuned to you.
And he's presenting an award to Bill Withers.
And the day's all bright.
I mean, come on. How could I not be in that room?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. The voice and wake-up call. I know that it can only be the Steve Cochran Show.
Happy Friday at 7:12. Amongst the pile of stories that are huge and then get buried by something Trump did, is whatever happened at COD.
Oh, my gosh.
Stacey St. Clair is here. We love Stacey. Previously, greatest guest on the program.
Previously.
And then she stopped returning our calls.
Presently, not so much.
For 2015, because you've been busy and working at stories and winning Supreme Court
cases. Well, and you can't be a repeat winner. That's a rule that we established as soon as I thought of it. All right, so the COD story, back it up to the point where it became a story and give us some background.
Yeah, so in 2015, my partner at the Tribune and I, Jody Cohen, started looking into spending at the College of DuPage, which is the state's largest community college, and just looking at how the administrators were spending money on things like, you know, meals and hunting trips and things like that. And what we did discover was that in the course of our reporting, that federal authorities had subpoenaed both the college and its foundation. And so as part of that reporting, we filed what's called a Freedom of Information Act request, an Open Records Act request, to get a copy of the subpoenas that were served on both the college, which the college turned over, and on the foundation, which the foundation declined to turn over, saying they weren't subject to the open records laws. And as a result, we took them to court, and then finally, you know, 2 years later, last week, we got what is a groundbreaking decision in the state of Illinois. And
establishing that foundations can't hide.
Right, that public colleges in Illinois can't use their foundations to hide records.
And it's a huge deal because it's your money that's being spent. And that's what the Tribune was chasing. That's what ChicagoTribune.com and the newspaper, that's what you guys were chasing.
Right.
You found out the truth.
Right.
And they wanted to hide. Now, wasn't there a president change at the school in the midst of all of that?
There was. And, you know, the president got, you know, what has been called a golden parachute. He got about $720,000 to retire a year early. And it was really that's what actually sort of piqued our interest, that he had gotten this deal, which also they did in secrecy and sort of hid the facts about. And so once people start hiding things, that's when it's time to start, you know, really digging.
What's what we've been like talking about with Trump, right?
Oh my god,
the cover up.
Yeah,
it's not the lie, it's the cover up.
It was like a soap opera. Every week we would talk to you about different you know, facets to this story. And when Stacey says spending on meals, there was like a $1,200 dinner bill one night because they had, you know, 16 bottles of wine or something crazy.
Well, it was a long
an exorbitant amount of money. But congratulations, because I don't think people realize this went all the way to the state Supreme Court.
It went to the appellate court.
To the appellate court, mm-hmm. Right? And has, you know, implications now on anybody who wants to file a FOIA request, you know, mainly it's journalists, but someone who wants to file a request like this. So is this precedent
setting?
It will.
We hope it's precedent setting. I mean, people have to like launch their own fights for documents. But yeah, the ruling is very clear that if you're going to use, you know, the foundation at COD is paid for by tax. It has taxpayer paid employees. It has their employees get state pensions, they get state benefits, so they use government property. They are clearly subject, and the courts really stood up for that. So that was a big victory.
And I felt like the school's administration was doing the school a great disservice, because, you know, experience I had through COD doing some talks out there and doing a couple of shows out there and knowing some people who sent their kids there was all positive. You know, it's good facilities. You know, the teachers seem to know what they're doing, the professors.
It is considered one of the top junior colleges in the country. I mean, and Harvard accepts credits from COD.
Yeah, and then they get this black mark because of a few greedy people at the top. So it's not a reflection on COD.
No.
It's a reflection on the people that were trying to steal the money. Steal my word.
Steal will be your word. Yeah, yeah. It's a reflection on the people who were sort of in charge at the time, not the students, not the faculty or anything like that.
Has COD made changes, Stacey, since all of this? I mean, have they really tried to kind of pull themselves out with the new board and the new president?
Yes, the board is still, the current board is still fighting this idea that the foundation should be subject to open records law. So I wouldn't say they're fully on board with, you know, every reform that's probably needed. But yeah, they've made changes. They've been more open, more transparent in things they do. So yeah.
Have you tried to register for classes just as a joke?
I have not.
I want to ask you a media question in general in this current climate we're in. It's Stacey St. Clair, really one of the great writers.
Absolutely.
Right.
One of the best.
And a reporter that will kick your tail. I'm telling you, if you get, this is like, you know, you get a call from Stacey. Get
retire.
Out of it.
Yeah,
retire.
She's not going to call back, kids. Yeah, let me tell you.
It's true. I'll probably
do you have a personal record, by the way, for most callbacks?
Most callbacks?
Think about that during the break. 717. Yeah. Mary's here, and she has your traffic update. Stacey St. Clair is here. I know you are as annoyed as everybody in the business is about this fake news nonsense that's going on. I'm just curious from your perspective and for people, you know, at the paper, what do you do with that frustration to make sure that people understand you're trying to get stories? You're not trying to make up stories.
Yeah, I think it's a frustration because the stories that people don't like are now dubbed fake news.
Right.
Not that it's, you know, an actual factual story or not. So I think what you do is you just sort of you buckle down and you try to do your job, you know, as well as you can. And you try to, like, you know, shut out the noise and make your story sort of bulletproof. Make sure that there is no, you know, wiggle room for people to say, oh, well, you know, this little detail is wrong and therefore the whole thing is fake news.
Yeah, and this the argument that goes on about leaks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If not for leaks, you wouldn't know most of the political corruption that has gone on in the history of time.
Right.
Nixon might have finished his term. Leaks are vitally important to further the story, and leaks are not the type of thing where somebody goes, this is devious and I'm going to do this to hurt people. Leaks almost always come from people who are trying to do the right thing because they're seeing the wrong thing being done.
Right. I think, you know, I'm not just pointing to the president, but, you know, anytime you see somebody go after leaks, it's because they don't want that information getting out. And that's where you should stop. Okay. Why don't they want this information getting out? Like, it doesn't really matter how it got out.
I talk to students a lot. I know you mentor a lot of students as well, journalism students, and I get asked the question often, you know, where do you get your news? Twitter? No. And then you have to really explain, okay, you know, social media is huge now. I mean, because it used to be, you know, you go out, you pound the pavement, you get the interviews. Now everything is on Facebook or Facebook Live or Twitter. And, you know, I always just say you have to confirm, reconfirm, and then confirm it again
before
you go.
And read stuff you don't agree with, you know?
Right.
Don't just stop at the headline that makes you feel better about what you already thought was going on.
Right.
You know, that tunnel vision that we have, and talk about Roger Ailes passing, you know, a lot of that was created through the explosion of Fox News. But you can be a Republican and a far-right Republican and be right about something. But guess what? You might be wrong.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The same thing with watching Bill Maher. You watch Bill Maher and think everything Bill Maher says is right. Are you kidding me?
No.
It's an opinion show.
Does it frustrate the heck out of you too, though?
I think what frustrates me is that people sometimes have a problem, I think now more than ever. I think Facebook sort of exasperates the problem, is that people don't know the difference between reading an opinion piece or listening to opinion piece.
Yeah.
And to hearing the news or reading the news.
Yeah.
And you get so many hot, you know, so-called hot takes on Facebook. That's what gets posted. So people take that as news. And I don't think you should be reading an opinion piece or listening to an opinion piece about anything unless you've heard the foundation, you know, factual story of that it's based off.
Both sides. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, both sides. And in opinion pieces, they don't have the same obligations as a news story that, like, you know, that you or I do, that we have to talk about the get both sides of the story. Yeah, examine the facts.
Talk show hosts don't have that. I can shoot my mouth off all day long. I don't have to cite two sources. I can say what I want, but I say it all the time. Mine is, in my opinion, an educated opinion because I do the homework. But you don't have to take my word for it. Matter of fact, I recommend you don't. You know, go out and look at other things. Read the Chicago Tribune. Listen to the news. Watch the news and go on. You know, and the frustration for me, because there's a danger to minimizing the media, and there's a great danger to it, is not stopping down long enough to at least have the common sense to go, well, how did we find out about Hillary Clinton's emails? Yeah. I hate to break it to you. The New York Times, The Washington Post, and CNN were all crucial in moving that story. The same people who are accused first and foremost by the president of being fake news.
Right. The same New York Times reporter who broke the Comey memo also broke the Hillary Clinton email.
That's great reporting.
That's it. And it's a reporter who doesn't have he doesn't have any skin in the game besides telling a great story and breaking news and sharing facts, and that's what they've done.
Yeah, journalists don't need a hug; they just need you to do the right thing by you and consume as much of a variety of things as you can, and come to your own conclusions. But don't just stop at what you like.
And props to you and to Jody. I mean, for taking this all the way to the appellate court and now making it easier when you file a FOIA request to get the information that should be out there to taxpayers.
We'll keep fighting the fight.
Yeah, Stacey St. Clair's college tour is coming up. She's got jackets. She's going college foundations everywhere and sniffing around. You're in trouble, you people. Great to see you.
Good to see you guys, too.
727. Back with a big story coming up on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Mr. President, I'd like to get your reaction to Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein's decision to appoint a special counsel to investigate the Russian interference in the campaign. Was this the right move, or is this part of a witch hunt?
Well, I respect the move, but the entire thing has been a witch hunt, and there is no collusion between certainly myself and my campaign, but I can always speak for myself and the Russians, zero. I think it divides the country. I think we have a very divided country because of that and many other things.
He's a victim. It's not the president's fault. As a matter of fact, I'm going to take credit for it. It's my fault.
Oh, good.
No, it's my fault.
Thanks for doing that.
It's all one big Russian misunderstanding. The president says that it's totally ridiculous. My favorite when he goes, everybody says so. Well, not exactly. As a matter of fact, after the deputy attorney general briefed the Senate yesterday, Republican Senate leadership stepped up to the microphone. Here's Lindsey Graham on whether or not he agrees.
So I think the biggest legal change seems to be that Mr. Mueller is going to proceed forward with the idea of a criminal investigation versus a counterintelligence investigation. There was no facts laid out as to why you would change that, but appointing a special counsel has created, I think, a dynamic where Congress is going to have to be very leery of crossing into Mr. Mueller's lane because of the possibility of a criminal investigation.
Didn't hear a lot of defense of the president there, just some acknowledgement of the fact that it's criminal and it's counterterrorism from the congressional side. Oh, and then there's former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright. Here's her summation of how the president's handling himself and being his own worst enemy.
And what keeps me up at night is that, in fact, this president is not well enough prepared to deal with the myriad issues that are out there, which are very complicated. I've never seen the world as complicated. And what keeps me up at night is that there's not a full team that is working at the State Department, and all the questions about what is happening inside the White House. That's what worries me, because there's an awful lot happening, and we have a president who doesn't seem to do his homework.
So, Madeleine Albright, by the way, brilliant. I've interviewed her. I know you have. She was in town giving a speech earlier.
You
got to
be careful
year.
When she's in studio. She's tiny. You might step on her.
Absolutely. But a brilliant
she
mind.
Really is. Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Yeah. Did you talk to her when you saw her in person?
I did, yeah. She's
good
fascinating.
People. Yeah, she's fun. She's fun, too. She's
yeah,
funny.
She is. Yeah, she is.
Congressman Raja Krishnamurthy, I knew I'd step on it. Krishnamurthy is standing by. And let's go to the congressman now from the Illinois 8th. I believe I'm the only one ever to mispronounce your name, sir.
Good morning. Call me Raja, Steve.
Yes, much like your commercial, it does make life easier for the rest of us, doesn't it?
Actually, one time I introduced myself in Chicago. I said, hi, my name is Raja Krishnamurthy. And the person on the other end said, Roger Christian Murphy. I never knew that the Irish made it to India.
Well, how are you, aside from the obvious, which we'll get to, in general, how are you enjoying Congress?
Well, look, it's a high honor to be here. I feel so privileged to represent the 8th District of Illinois, some really great people who live there and work there. On the other hand, right now we're going through a lot of turbulence, as you probably noticed on the news.
A little bit.
And so we just have to work through it. I did not think that I'd be, for instance, working on the Russia probe, but being on the House Oversight Committee, I'm kind of, neck deep in it at this point. And so, it's my duty to work on it. And so I will, but I hope that we can at some point, get to the bottom of the facts and then get past this and get to the business of how do we grow and strengthen the middle class, which is what I campaigned on and what I was primarily hired to do.
And a point that we've made on this show over and over and over again, and I'm not the only one saying it, but it seems to be the most obvious thing is it's not about the election. It's about Russia interfering with the election. And the best way to get past it, Mr. President, is to not just allow the investigation to go forward, but encourage it. Because if he is cleared of all suspicion and any of the allegations that are out there, he has the opportunity to be a legend.
I think you're onto something there. I think that we obviously view the whole Russia investigation in light of the recent election. But to me, the most important question is, has our national security been compromised, and how do we prevent this type of thing from happening in the future? We know that Russia's hacking various elections across the world, and they're trying to destabilize, especially Western democracies. And we just can't allow that to continue, and we have to protect ourselves going forward.
Congressman, do you expect to see the Comey memos? Do you expect him to testify? And how long do you think the entire process will take into this facet of it?
In answer to the first question, I think that we will see the Comey memos. With regard to Comey testifying, that's a good question. That the special prosecutor has been appointed in basically a criminal investigation, Mr. Mueller. And I think that Comey will probably testify subject to subpoenas issued by different committees, including possibly our own. But that will have to be done in some coordination with Mr. Mueller's investigation, because we don't want to mess up any kind of criminal investigation that's going on. And then finally, with regard to the length of the process, good question.
Faster.
I don't know how long it will take.
Yeah, we want a full investigation, but we want it as quickly as possible. We don't want it at congressional speed.
Correct.
Right. And Mueller will get first swing at pretty much whatever he wants. I think Congress will rightfully step back and say, okay, this witness is available on this day to Mueller, then he's going to go there, he or she is going to go there before they come to us. Either way, it should be the number one priority until it isn't. What's your measure of confidence? That's probably not the right way to put this. How do you feel about the president's trip that he's taking today, and what do you hope we get out of it?
Well, he's going to Saudi Arabia and to other countries in the Middle East. My hope is that, at least two things are accomplished. One is obviously we want to promote our security and commercial interests in the region. We want to make sure that folks in the region understand that the United States remains engaged with the world, and we want to do everything in our power to bring stability to the region. And then two, I hope that he, and I think that this is part of his plan anyway, but I hope that he does make it clear that the United States is a pluralistic democracy, that we believe in human rights and freedom, and, anywhere that it is trampled on, you know, we will stand up for the rights of those who are persecuted. And also in our own country, we will defend the rights of minorities and the right of everyone to pray as they wish and to be who they want to be, whether they're Christian, Jewish, Hindu, or Muslim, or whatever belief system that you subscribe to.
Andreas, yeah, Roger.
Congressman, many of the Republicans in Congress have been having these town hall meetings, and there's been a lot of booing and canceling of the meetings now. I guess, will you continue to go forward and have these and talk about the importance of those? Because it actually is a chance for taxpayers and representatives and residents to come
forward. To boo their congressman.
To come forward.
Oh, no, and, that's not right.
to give their opinion. And I would hate to see on either side of the aisle, you know, these stop. Just because of a little bit of booing, or maybe they don't like what people are saying at that particular time. But it's important to have that open dialogue.
Absolutely. I think it's so crucial that you engage with the constituents of your district, you know, regardless of their viewpoint or, you know, whether they're Democrat or Republican or, you know, a Cubs fan or Sox fan. I happen to be a Cubs fan. But the main point is that, you know, unless you do that, you don't have a good sense of what's on their minds, and you don't have a chance to address, you know, the issues that matter to them. So I've had, I don't know, I think I've had something like half a dozen, 6 to 10 versions of town halls in different settings all across the district. And I've learned as much from those town halls from the people who came as they perhaps learned from me about what's going on in Washington, D.C. And so and that, by the way, that informs what we do in our office in terms of what are the issues that we're working on. So, for instance, you know, one of my big interests right now is career and technical education. And I know that we've had some slow news days here in Washington, but one actually bright spot was that a career technical education bill that Congressman Thompson, a Republican of Pennsylvania, and I have been the lead co-sponsors on to modernize our career and technical education system, actually passed out of our education committee, and it looks like it's going to go to the House floor. And that's really important for our young people to make sure that they're able to get a job and establish a career, even if they choose not to go to four-year college or university.
Well, congratulations on it. Keep up the good work. Any hazing going on since you're the new guy in Congress?
nothing serious so far. I have not. The funny thing is, I'm a member of. I joined the congressional gym here, and Paul Ryan, believe it or not, is his locker is right behind mine. So
that's not good.
But one really interesting thing is he's a Cubs fan. So,
but that's fine. But Paul Ryan's a workout fiend.
Yeah,
Raja, I know you're in good shape, Raja, but you got to keep up with Paul Ryan. That's a lot of pressure.
Gives a whole new meaning to spotting you, right, Raja?
Yeah, exactly. I'm not having him spot me, but he's quite the P90X fanatic. But it has been fun getting to know different members of Congress on both sides of the aisle. In that sense, I feel that there are a lot of good people here. Unfortunately, the institution isn't designed to maximize their potential. And sometimes we get into paralysis as opposed to getting things done. And that's, of course, another conversation for another day. But that's something that we have to work on as a country.
People want to stay in touch with you. The best way to do it is how?
Oh, Facebook and Twitter. We're very active in our government social media accounts. And also, please, come to my town halls as they will continue throughout the rest of the year. My Twitter handle is @ Congressman Raja, and so is my Facebook.
That's R-A-J-A. And if you want to get really adventurous, his congressional website uses his last name. It's Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy, KrishnamoorthI.
You got it.
Yeah. Well, I get something for that. I don't know what it is. But thanks for being on. I appreciate it. We look forward to talking to you soon.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, folks.
There you go. That's Raja. 7:56. We got baby news.
Baby news.
Go live to Andrea Dallas watching the babies being born.
Our good friend Amy Rutledge from Channel 9 has had her twins. She and her husband Todd welcoming two healthy baby boys.
No. John DeCoste is welcoming one.
I'm sorry. Her husband Todd and baby daddy John DeCoste. John DeCoste each welcoming a new boy. Miles Christopher, which incidentally Christopher is John's son's name.
That's going to get awkward.
Mm-hmm. Miles Christopher and Quentin Charles.
Not that it's not awkward already. So, but good for her. She's great and obviously a fabulous mom already with two older son or daughter?
One older son, yeah.
The older son.
Yeah, so she has all boys now. She looks great. The babies are healthy, so congratulations to them. Mary's laughing because I said Amy's so pretty. She looked. Oh, I thought you were... Oh, there's a cigarette on Nick DiGilio's plaque already.
Oh, that's sad.
He'll get used to it like the rest of us.
It's like a little makeshift memorial. But I said, Amy Rutledge had the babies, and I said to Mary, she looks so beautiful, because she's a beautiful person,
girl, sure, yeah.
Beautiful girl.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, I wish I looked half that good when I wake up in the morning after not having given birth twice.
I don't think that's the key. No, and you look fabulous, so knock it off.
No, Amy looks really good.
Thanks, Mayor.
No offense, Andrea. No, it doesn't look.
Well, hold on a second. I just said Andrea looks really good, and you said no, Amy looks really good. Your timing's not great.
It's all right.
I don't know if she had someone do makeup and hair before that photo was snapped while she's still laying in the hospital bed, because she didn't even break a sweat or anything.
She had the Channel 9 makeup person stay in the hospital until she had the babies.
Ingrid is a genius at makeup.
What's her name, Ingrid?
Ingrid, yeah.
So good for her. Congratulations.
Those are big
congratulations
babies.
To John. Well, John's a big guy.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. I bet the one that's 6.5 ounces. Is his.
Yeah, six and a half ounces.
Six pounds.
6 pounds.
Yeah,
6 pounds.
Those are big.
6.5 ounces
is a big tiny. It is to carry two of them. The other kid is six pounds.
I hope one of them has a little mole or something so that you can tell them apart, because aren't they identical?
Well, one's going to be, a Weisenheimer. That'll be John's.
John's kid.
Yeah. Christopher, yes.
How's the grandbaby?
She's good. I haven't seen her, but apparently
when are you
she's
going
home.
Up again to where is she? In, she's in Madison, Manitoba. Where is she?
Outside of Madison, 45 minutes north. So, yeah, I'm probably not till Memorial Day.
Why don't you go today?
Okay, bye.
Yeah, go ahead. I mean, honestly, I endorse it.
Mary said a nice thing that I thought was really respectful. She said that she's because she's the mother-in-law. And yes. The daughter, Sarah, has her mom there.
Yeah, yeah.
That she is respecting their relationship, ahead.
But don't you like your other mother-in-law?
Oh, she came home. She's back home. Oh, sure. We love each other. We're great. I mean, but it's it's different when it's not your daughter.
It is different. Nothing worse than overbearing in-laws.
I don't want to be that mother-in-law.
I just wish women would overthink things more.
Right?
Yeah.
Because
I would never think of that.
I'd be like, it's convenient
for
me.
Well, you're Greek. So.
It's convenient for me. I'll come and bring food.
I think Greeks have boundaries.
No, are you kidding? Yeah.
No.
We create our own parking spots.
Look at all the wars you started. Oh, please.
Sarah knows
and
I'm here
we were enslaved for 400 years by the time.
Well, listen, that's why you're angry. That's why the flaming, that's why the cheese is on fire.
That's why we light our food on fire.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should.
Dean Richards, what is he, in Los Angeles? Is that where you are? You're in Los Angeles?
That is correct. Los Angeles in the state of California, Steve.
How is it there? Is it west of here?
It is as far west as you can go. I'll be in the water if I go any further west than I am right now.
Let's see if we can figure out what part of L.A. Dean is in. Are you in a fancy hotel?
Yeah.
Are you in a fancy hotel that with a name we would know?
Let me just say this. Ice machines on every single floor.
Oh, that's fancy. Mm. Does the hotel rhyme with Schmore Schmeasons?
No, it does not.
How about Ritz Schmarlton?
It does not.
Does it rhyme with Chateau Marmont?
No. Let me give you a clue.
Is it the peninsula?
It rhymes with... Shred, Truth, Shrin.
So you're in a fancy Red Roof Inn. I knew I'd get it eventually.
I think they should put you up at Chateau Marmont.
Well, that's where all the stars go to die.
Well, I don't want them to die.
Yeah, so I'd be wrong.
It's just famous and nice.
The Pirates 5.
It'd be convenient, convenient, though. If they die and I'm right there, that would be convenient for covering it.
See?
The best thing is when the TMZ guys go out there, Dean runs them down. Just decks them as he runs by them.
Believe me, I wanted to many times.
I'll bet.
Those swarmy reporters, so-called reporters, photographers, really, paparazzi.
When did it start?
Very aggressive.
It had to be OJ, right? Because I remember going to L.A. in the 80s. Where you never had these, I mean, you had photographers if something cool was going on, but you didn't have a pack of photographers like ants on an anthill around every cool restaurant or every cool club just waiting for any famous face to come out.
They're camped out at the airport. They camp out at Los Angeles International Airport waiting for somebody to, you know, step out of the terminal so they can pounce on them.
Had to be OJ.
Try it.
Had to be OJ.
Had to be OJ, or I don't know if it was like the Paris Hilton-y, you know, the reality TV that kind of created that whole monster. It was definitely right around that era, though. It's unfortunate for serious entertainment journalists like me.
Right, exactly. Somebody who's there for the Pulitzer. Not the Pulitzer, the Pulitzer. P-O-O-L-I-T-Z-E-R.
And that's why we launched into that heavy-duty investigation that we did last weekend about the movie Diary of a Wimpy Kid Long Haul, because, you know, we are the 60 minutes of entertainment reporting.
What'd you give it?
I gave it a D-.
Oh.
It's pretty much crap.
Wow.
It's horrible.
D-.
Yeah, it's horrible. I don't know why I didn't even just go the full distance and give it an F. Because there is nothing redeeming in this movie whatsoever, and it's too bad, because this the Diary of a Wimpy Kid books, you know, series is tremendously popular.
Yeah,
the three previous movies tremendously popular. This is the fourth movie. It's a whole new family now that includes Alicia Silverstone, Tom Everett, Scott.
So what? They just quit trying?
They just made it about as generic as you possibly can do it. Went down the checklist of stupid things in a kid's movie. Do we have fart jokes? Yes. Do we have, you know, kids doing messy things? Yes. This one goes the further distance. These are the three high comedic moments in the movie. Bird dropping humor, mudslinging, literal mudslinging humor, and there's also pig flatulence humor.
Sounds like quality to me.
Three comedic highlights, and I want you to remember those three things the next time you do a big stand-up show.
I think I will open with the bird droppings. It's strong. What about Alien Covenant?
Alien Covenant, I gave B+. I liked it quite a bit. It's Sir Ridley Scott is back directing. He directed the very first Alien movie back in 1979. And I think he's got a very special understanding of not only balancing white knuckle suspense, but super scary creatures. It's messy. It's bloody. It's full of excitement like that. But also this movie gives you actually quite a bit to think about. At the same time, the movie works on many, many levels. It's a space mission, a spaceship that is carrying 2,000 people who are in sleep deep sleep in these pods, and the crew of the ship is looking for a planet where they can land, start a new place for humans to live. They find the perfect planet. Doesn't seem
good
to be
school district
else there. What's that? Good schools.
Okay.
Good schools, near shopping, expressways nearby, all the things that you want in your planet shopping. And they go to this place. Turns out there are some creatures there that are not so happy. Well, actually, they're quite happy because they can munch on the space travelers that have landed there. So I mean, that's basically the story. There's,
so like it's an old country buffet for alien Earthlings.
Yeah. It's really all you can eat. If you don't get off the planet, it's pretty much all you can eat. Some people being the appetizer hot tray, some people being the entree, some people being the dessert entree.
Sure.
Refills are extra. It's exciting. You know what? I left this movie smiling. It was fun.
Nothing like aliens eating Earthlings for a good time. All right, now what about Pirates 5? Can you talk about it?
I saw it last night, Stephen. As you know, I cannot give a review early on this. I've always been a Johnny Depp fan. He's been super disappointing as of late. Mm-hmm. I think this one may be a bit of a comeback for him as Captain Jack Sparrow. This movie, and again, this is not a review, I didn't fall asleep.
Well, we like to get to the bottom of these by asking questions around it. So let me just say this. Would you rather be locked in an elevator with Paul Conrad for the weekend or see Pirates 5?
As enticing as the elevator offer seems, I think I would rather see Pirates 5.
Okay, that sounds like it's not a review.
That is definitely not a review because I can't review it just yet. But I'm my faith in Johnny Depp is restored. I don't know if I'm back to my previous position. Johnny Depp can do no wrong because he certainly has proved that he can do plenty wrong, both personally and professionally the last few years. But I'm feeling a lot more confident, and I love this Captain Jack Sparrow character that he's developed. It's classic.
All right, thanks for getting up, and no problem on not wearing your pants. It's very early in L.A. And have a great weekend and have a safe trip back.
All right, I'll see everybody Sunday morning.
And Willie Geist coming up next. First, here's traffic from Mary.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Seems to me that love is everywhere. Often it's not particularly dignified or newsworthy, but it's always there. If you look for it, I've got a sneaky feeling you'll find that love actually is all around.
I've had a lot on my mind.
Work tough?
Well, it's more of a love thing, actually.
Oh, here we go again. For once in my life, I
have someone who needs me. Top five all time.
Absolutely.
Love Actually. They're doing a sequel mostly involving car chases and gunfights. Now we're just talking about the sequel off the air. I hope it works. The reason we're bringing up Love Actually is our friend Willie Geist joins us. And Willie, as you know, there's only two television things I'll watch. One is you on Sunday mornings and the other is the Sean Spicer Show. And it looks like one of them might be getting canceled and it's not you.
Well, that's good news. And as President Trump has reminded us, Sean Spicer gets incredible ratings. He's very highly rated.
I don't know what to do. He gets incredible numbers. I don't know what to do. All right, so let's talk about the good news first. Laura Linney is your guest on Sunday.
She's so cool. Guys, yeah. She's so cool. She's been nominated for an Oscar three times, a couple of Best Actress, four Tony nominations. She's done so much. You don't realize that you sit down and look at all the movies she's been in. She was in her first big movie was Absolute Power with Clint Eastwood, who helped her break into the business. But she grew up in the theater. Her dad, Romulus Linney, was a famous playwright. So
how could you not be if your name was Romulus Linney?
I know. Right? What else do you do?
You know, you're not going to be an auto mechanic. Sorry.
You have to drop down to Rom, I think, for that.
Yeah.
So she's been literally in theaters her whole life. So she came up on the stage, and then she had an agent who said, hey, ever thought about doing some TV? And she did. So she won an Emmy. She was on Frasier. She, of course, did John Adams, where she played Abigail Adams. She's one of these people who's a little bit, like, she's so humble, and she's the kind of actress who isn't flashy, so you can tend to overlook her. But when you sit down and look at her body of work,
great actress.
She's incredible. She's a great actress and just fun to talk to, very personable. She's everything you think she'd be when you see her on the screen and she is in real life.
I can tell you from being in the room with her as well, of course, no one's listening now, Willie. It's just you and I. Sneaky sexy. You know,
well, you said it.
Yeah, you're in a room with her, and you're thinking, oh, it's going to be really cool, Laura Linney. You get in a room with Laura Linney, you go, damn. Mm. You know, and that's the entire word. I mean, that's the entire sentence. You just go, damn.
Well, she's beautiful, but she's also charming, and that's what takes it to the next level, I think, is what you're getting at. She's just, I don't know, she lit the place up. She's one of the people I'd never met before. She walked into this little restaurant, one of those pre-theater dinner spots right on 49th Street before you go see the show. And she was great. You know, she was funny. She was fun, happy to talk about any part of her life. Tried to get her to get some stuff going on this Love Actually sequel they're doing. She wouldn't spill too much, but she does give a little bit. So she's, we did the whole thing from birth to the current day, and she's great.
Willie, I know you can't say much about Love Actually 2, and she probably didn't divulge too much, but will there be questions answered from perhaps the first one, and will most of the cast be back?
Yes, most of the cast is back, and that's what you just said is effectively what she said to me. She said, all I can say is, your questions will be answered. Like, there will be a resolution. And we talked
stuff like stuff like what is love?
Right.
And what is love?
Exactly.
How did Trump get elected? No. Those are the questions.
Will she sleep with Carl?
it sounds like you hope so.
I do.
Right. She's. We talked about the phenomenon that movie became. She said, "Yeah, we knew it was a good movie and it had a great heart and had a good message and all that." But we didn't realize what it would become, which is like this holiday classic that people turn on every Christmas in their homes and just feels good to watch. She said, you know, some of these movies, they can feel too saccharine or in a cynical world, it's hard for something like that to punch through. But it did, and it's endured. So we get into that as well.
And that's Sunday morning, what time?
7 a.m. in Chicago.
Yep.
7 a.m.
Worth getting up for. All right, now let's talk about the Spicy Spicerman show. I look forward to Sean Spicer as much as anything on TV. And I mentioned this week, if there's a problem with the show, give him a love interest, give him a nosy neighbor, give him a cute kid, you know, whatever it takes to keep the thing on the air. But the rumor all over this morning is that the Trumpster is going to pull the Spicy Spicerman show. What do you know?
Well, he may scale back the Spicy Spicerman show, as you refer to it. Uh-huh. He's going to, in other words, there may not be a daily briefing with the press. There may be an as-needed briefing with the press. But I don't think that has much to do with Spicer as it has to do with Trump being frustrated with us in the media. And he's tired of us calling out their contradictions and having Spicer say one thing from the podium and then later that afternoon the president saying something completely different.
Why do you keep reporting the things I say?
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah.
It's the failing media again. But I know I think you may see less of Sean Spicer, but I think you know he watches Spicer out there. He's his kind of guy. You know, he's combative. He talks down to the press. He likes to fight with us. And I think Trump likes a guy who goes out and fight. That doesn't mean he's happy with his press operation more broadly. I think he believes they've lost the message. They might tell you the message is the problem and not the controlling of the message. But I think you'll see a little less of Spicer. But my prediction is he's not going to can him.
I would hope not, because Spicy seems to like the job in some sort of twisted way, sort of like you like being hit by a car. The thing that concerns me is not having him on every day. I think we know he's a talent. Can we get him an HBO series, possibly, you know, Veep followed by Spicy, you know, one of those kind of shows?
There are those who have compared Sean Spicer to Mike McClintock, Matt Walsh's character as the press secretary on Veep. I think they're running sort of parallel programs right now. And as Donald Trump would point out, his is much more highly rated than Veep.
My ratings are better than anyone. You know what I love? Yesterday, he's doing, I don't know if it was a press conference or just conversation with the voices in his head, but when he goes, it's a total witch hunt, everybody agrees. No, everybody doesn't agree. That's why there are three major investigations going on.
That is definitely a Trump tick when he says so many people are telling me or millions and millions of people agree throughout these broad, unprovable numbers. And it's so many people are telling me, or is a TV show he saw or something he read on a website or a buddy who called him from the real estate world. And he says, so many people are telling me. And I think he actually believes it. He thinks we're the ones who are totally out of touch and that it's the people who elected him who should have the say. And he's going to ride with that.
You know, the other movie he makes, and I know he's done it. I think he's done it to you. He's done it to everybody. Is you're in the middle of a question and answer thing. He makes his crazy point, and then he goes, and you know I'm right. You know, right. He puts it on you where you then have to disagree.
Right. Well, and the implication being that you're being dishonest, you're playing a role. You and I both know that what I'm saying is correct. And the reporter has to immediately say, no, actually, here's the quote that you said, so I can't agree with you on that.
Stop bringing up facts. Willie Geist and his new girlfriend, Laura Linney, Sunday morning. 7 a.m. Chicago time on NBC. And again, it's must-see TV, so get your tail out of bed or at least wake up enough to kick the remote on. Good talking to you, man. Have a great weekend.
Always a pleasure, Steve. Thanks, guys.
See you later. Willie Geist and his legendary father, Bill.
Who's great.
Illinois. Well, he lived here for a while.
I know. I, one of the 150 top U of I alums, just recently voted.
Yeah, you and Mary are in there too, I think.
Yeah, we're 151 and 152.
Oh, so close.
Just made it.
834, back with your big story next on 720 WGN. It's a great band still. Talking Heads, they were going to reunite. Did it split up, or did they just kind of casually go their separate ways because they were disinterested? Yeah, right.
Like an 80s cruise.
We're going to tell you everything you need to put on your calendar in Chicago, starting with the Riverwalk celebration on the 20th, and make a note of it. And then we should probably post these notes, too, so people can just go in one easy place and find them. And Condé Nast Traveler just voted Chicago the number one restaurant city in America.
Number one restaurant city in America based on our unique foods, our unique chefs. And, yeah, it's a huge honor. It's wonderful.
So let's bring in Mark Kelly, Department of Cultural Affairs and Special Events Commissioner. And Mr. Commissioner, welcome to the program. You are the captain of fun.
I love that title. Thank you.
Yes. Less than a year on the job now, and this is your first full summer of running this for Chicago. Intimidated?
No, because I always knew all of these festivals and events as someone who enjoyed them, and now to be the steward of them, how exciting. And
it's pretty
what
cool.
A summer we're going to have.
Talk about the celebration this Saturday, because the Riverwalk thing kicks off the summer.
So Chicago's great new urban park, Riverwalk, this is its first full year completed in operation. And tomorrow, weather looks a little spotty, but boy, do we have a day on the river from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. We have the Chicago Symphony. We have pyrotechnics, a waterfall of pyrotechnics coming off bridges.
Kind of cool, huh?
The mayor is going to be speaking. We're going to have a march of the fish puppets along with
the king. All right, now you're just making stuff up.
No, I'm not. With the king marching band. The whole point of the Riverwalk, it's a different kind of park. It's a place, I'm going to butcher this. There's an Italian word, passeggiata, which is to see and to be seen. It's sort of like the Ramblas in Barcelona. So you go to the Riverwalk, not just to hang out and be edified, but you go, you walk, you take in this great urban scene.
It's wonderful. When you used to bike along here, it would stop right where the lake and the river kind of
commingle.
Perpendicular.
Yes.
Exactly. Now you have the tunnel that goes underneath with all the mosaics. City winery. I mean, it's so high-end, and it's so wonderful. We've become such a great city. Our Riverwalk is becoming nationally known.
City winery is like a must-go-to place now for tourists to come to town.
The vendors are they're amazed at how well they're doing. It's just an absolute home run. And then the programming will continue on Riverwalk. Our vendors will be having music every week. We'll return with the march of the fish puppets with a marching band.
You are just hooked on this fish puppet thing.
I am not. So cool. You know, puppets need to be part of the cultural scene of Chicago. Why not?
It's nothing without the puppets. Yeah. The big kickoff program again all day on Saturday. That's tomorrow. And other than the fish puppets, the dance of the bridges is the pyrotechnics thing we talked about. Now, this is obviously some of that's weather dependent, but there's no reason not to come down because it looks like there's spots all day where we're going to have long breaks of decent weather.
Yeah, and it's we're going to go on rain or shine, and especially for some of the music we have, we can put them undercover. And the cruises, you know, there's a canine cruise free for your dog.
Cool.
We have a cruise that's free for everyone. We have just so much. So come down, and if you need to escape into, you know, one of the restaurants and have
Well, they'll be happy to take you.
I think they will.
Yeah.
Last year, the river, or maybe it was earlier this year, Mary, if you can correct me if I'm wrong, that the river, the Chicago.
By the way, the Mary here is
Mary May, who
Runs the city and doesn't admit it.
I was going to say she runs the city.
Yes.
She's, you know, the secret mayor of the city of Chicago. But the Architecture Foundation boat tour, which is a must for tourists and people who live here as well, was voted one of the top tourist attractions, I think top three in the world.
Oh, it's tremendous.
And you have to see it. I mean, the architecture tour is one of the greatest
things. Yeah, because it's perspective. You're looking at the buildings the way you never look at them any other time.
Yeah, and they serve a nice, delicious pink lemonade on board. A little alcohol.
Yeah.
And they're going to be adding to during the Riverwalk, there'll be tours, walking tours, led by docents from the Chicago Architecture Foundation. So sort of a new way. Instead of just sitting in a boat, you're walking, taking it all in. Huh. It'll be fun.
By the way, I'm doing a tour too, where I just make stuff up about things I don't know. Stick around because we're going to lay out what's going on all summer here in just a second with the commissioner. Stand by for that. First, Mary's back with the travel. Well, you didn't come down and get your gift yet for your granddaughter.
Oh, I'll come in a little bit.
Well, since Mary's like she's making up her schedule here.
We just give it away. It was a surprise.
What? Well, it's a gift.
Well, we might end up taking it back if she doesn't come pick it up.
Yeah, we're going to return it.
Yep. Get our money back.
Traffic first. Here's Mary. All right. It is time to lay out the entire summer in about 2 minutes here, along with your commissioner of the Department of Affairs and Special Department of Cultural Affairs. Affairs is a separate story. Mark Kelly's here. And all right, Mark, I'm going to whip through this fairly quickly here. The House Music Festival comes up next week, right?
Yep. 2 days conference in the Cultural Center on Thursday and Friday, and then our house celebration house was created, crafted in Chicago, Freddie Knuckles. There'll be two stages, and it'll be there'll be just a jammed, packed Millennium Park for this great event.
Free, by the way, too.
Gospel Music Festival. There's no better gospel music festival anywhere in the country, if not the world.
Chicago is where modern gospel came alive, and so June 2nd and 3rd in Millennium Park again, and in the Chicago Cultural Center, Jonathan McReynolds, a local Grammy-nominated artist, is one of my favorites.
And my favorite 1 week later, Blues Fest, one of my favorites.
So Blues Fest is moving into Millennium Park. It's moving from Grant Park to Millennium Park. So imagine the great blues sound in Petrillo with those beautiful sight lines and the incredible audio. It's going to be great. There'll be four stages. We're going to be dedicating the Muddy Waters mural on Thursday, June 8th.
That's nice.
It's going to be a great event, and the lineup is stellar. Gary Clark Jr., Rihanna Giddens, Billy Branch, Ronnie Baker Brooks, and the list goes on. Yeah.
Followed by
The Taste of Chicago, and the restaurants are going to be announced next week.
So Tuesday, we'll be announcing the restaurants, 55 restaurants and food trucks and an incredible list. We were just deemed the best restaurant city in the country, and that will be represented at Taste.
You're a thin guy. How do you stay thin when you get to eat all that food?
Because I have to walk to all these festivals.
Ah, I see. Okay. Operate. Nobody gets a car.
And so I never get a chance to sit down. It's a music festival. So the lineup of Alessia Cara, Cafe Tacuba, Ben Harper, Passion Pit, the OJs. I will tell you.
I love that the OJs are coming in. Yeah. That's very cool.
The Love Train.
That's right.
I could just see you, Steve, dancing to the Love Train right
I
now.
I was one of the backup dancers for the OJs for years. Yeah, that's how my interpretive dance career got started.
And then some new additions to the festival. So it's also going to be an art and culture festival. We're going to have a street art and graffiti alley with street artists of Chicago who will be creating work which will literally be hung in the Gallery of Taste. We're going to have Stomping Grounds, Great Chicago Dance Companies performing. We'll have our summer dance stage, so you can come and dance. And then, again, I know, Steve, you're gonna be surprised to hear that we're going to have the March of the Puppets every day.
You and the fish puppets, man. You're on the payroll for the fish puppets.
I am.
It's unbelievable.
Puppets are taking over Chicago. Watch out.
Why
folks.
Not? The Park Summer Music Series and the film series of movies in the park, which you can see from your house if you know Andrea.
Oh.
The Air and Water Show is still to come, the Summer Dance we discussed, and the Jazz Festival. There is not a weekend this summer that there's not a great event here in Chicago. So for anybody who wants any information on any of it, where do you want them to go?
You go to cityofchicago.org/DCase. And just to remind our listeners, there is no other city in the country that offers so many just glorious, free cultural
every
events.
Weekend. I don't care how sick you are of your family, you always have an excuse to leave the house.
Free being the key word, too.
That's great. Nice to see you.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you,
have a great, busy summer.
We will.
And if you guys want to see the commissioner or Mary May on the weekend, you're screwed. You're out of luck. Go to the festival. All right, couple minutes before 9, CLTV joins us next.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Music is a world within itself. With a language we all understand.
You know how old Stevie Wonder is?
With an equal oppression.
He had a birthday this week.
Is he 70?
67. Because Stevie Wonder, it seems like Stevie Wonder's been around forever, because he's been around forever.
And because he was little Stevie Wonder.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like 13 years old. Special guest in just a moment. First, a special guest. And that special guest is Mary Vandeveld.
Oh, I'm a special guest?
Yes. Do you have a presentation, Dave, you'd like to make it this time?
Yes, I do. Mary, wow. From all of us.
And for little baby Corinne.
For baby Corinne. Little something.
For those of you just listening or watching on CLTV.
Did you knit me a blanket?
Mary, how do you know? You haven't opened it yet.
Mary, it's for the baby.
Mary's a brand new grandmother.
Yes, she is.
Yes.
Granny.
How am I supposed to?
I can't believe you're opening the baby's gift.
Can I open it?
No, you can. Oh. But you have to rewrap it.
Who tied this knot?
The people that paid for it.
Oh, my God.
Karen went out and did the shopping, right?
Yes.
Karen did the shopping. Oh, then it's going to be good.
Yeah.
I know.
Why? Because if me, Steve, Mary, or Steve, or Mike, or Dave bought a present, wouldn't
it? No, I didn't mean it that way.
If it was Mike, or me, or Steve.
There's quite a knot going on.
See, I disagree. I think the men on this show are very good present
gift buyers.
Yeah, gift buyers. Thank you, Andre. I think you are.
Wait, why are you? Oh, this really should have been.
Well, no, she's going
to
rewrap it.
Oh, you're rewrapping it.
Yeah, because we have to see the reaction to it.
Oh, I got you.
Yes, open it up.
All right, open it.
Someone going to jump out at me?
Let's go.
Now, what is it? It's a little baby.
Little
blanket. Or is it a... Oh, it's got a hood thing.
It's one of those.
Yeah, we got a hood.
So your wrapper. Yeah,
it's
so
a swaddler towel. Yes.
Yeah, it's a swaddler towel.
Oh, it's so soft.
I know. I couldn't believe it when we picked it out.
I know. So I love
beautiful.
When...
You guys did awesome.
I think it was fun when we had the group outing and went all shopping together to pick it out.
Crazy. It was nice of Karen to invite us.
Yeah, you probably already did, Dave.
That's really cool.
Was Dave wrapped in this earlier?
Yes.
He was.
I tried it out. It really does keep you warm after a
And I rocked him.
Feel this. And yes. I left the room because it got weird.
It's really nice. Oh. That's right. No, it's very nice.
I want the baby in there.
Yes, I'll bet you do.
We couldn't arrange that. But you can.
Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Congratulations. You're welcome. It was incredibly
expensive.
Their
other little family got the baby.
Yeah. No, there's more gifts coming. It's
Yeah. But now those are for me.
From who?
But now you have to rewrap it.
I will.
Yes.
I will work on it.
Okay.
And can I, while I have the microphone, I have to say happy birthday to my daughter today. My daughter, Kelsey, is 29.
Wow. What are you doing for her?
I
got to say, you look great for an old lady.
She's working.
Moving
Doesn't
forward.
Mary look great for an old lady?
Totally.
Hey,
totally.
You're as old as me, so be quiet.
Yeah, I don't look great for an old lady.
Moving forward, I wouldn't give her age anymore.
Oh.
Happy birthday to my daughter.
Well, 29. She might not be 29.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, she could be older. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
29 forever.
She's going to really kill me today.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, guys, so much.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Part two of our little family get-together here. Is it was a year ago today that our friend Audrey came in studio with a guest.
Yes.
Being the PR maven that she is. And do you remember who the guest was?
It was the Chicago Ale Fest.
Right. And because Sandberg and you in particular, well, we all have a great romance, but Sandberg loved this story.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I was going on vacation, so I was booking things ahead.
Yes.
And so I was going to be at a studio, so I was like, sure, I'll book that Ale Fest.
So this all ties into, of course, the fact that Audrey and Mike Jacobson have been dating for how long?
1 month short of a year.
1 month short of a year.
Good job, Mike. There you go, buddy.
Spoken like a dude. To show you how much game Mike had, what happened, Mike? What was your move 1 year ago?
Well, I think she could tell the story. She probably knows it better than me, even.
Yeah,
she
what did he do? Move.
So he came out of his producer's booth / cave.
Yes.
Wearing his White Sox hat.
Yes.
So
which you look very cute in, by the way.
I've donned a White Sox hat in honor.
Yes.
And he offered me a donut that was back in the producer's booth.
Right. So in honor of that, here on the 1 year anniversary, you have done what?
I brought in some donuts. I had initially only bought one, and then I felt like an...
You had to share with the class.
Yeah. I felt like a word I don't know if you can say on air.
Was asked the word you're thinking
almost
of?
Did.
Yes.
No, I think, Audrey, you just know us really well at this point.
So I was like, I got to go. I came back, and the lady was like, weren't you just here? I was like, I need more. I need more donuts.
You know, somebody at a donut shop should never say, weren't you just here, right? Maybe you're just hungry. So, Sandberg, you were so touched by this moment that you almost came back from your vacation. Is that right?
I was, yeah. When they, you know, Audrey has thanked me repeatedly for going on vacation that week because then she had to work with Mike.
Yeah.
You know, because I was gone.
And I will say one cute thing that every time since then that we've had donuts here at studio, which is a lot, Mike always brings Audrey one of those donuts. So.
Look at you.
A sprinkle donut, right?
She's the cutest. Yeah. Yep, she likes the sprinkle ones the best.
And what did I say to you off the air a few minutes ago? I said, I bet Mike is?
A great boyfriend.
I bet
he's
is.
Very sensitive, yes.
Yes.
He is.
Bought
it's kind donuts. Of a pain because he always beats me to these things.
Right.
And, like the cute things. So I was like, all right.
I bet he's a good gift buyer. I bet all of that.
He is.
I'm completely stunned by this. I had no idea that she was coming in, and I saw
Look,
her.
Even
and I
sucking
said,
up right now.
What is going on here? And then I saw the donuts, and I figured it out.
So you forgot the date we met.
Well, here's the question: if it was one
like
year
female,
wasn't it June 19th?
I thought it was next month.
Well, it's really nice. You got to get to work soon, don't you?
If it was 1 year ago that you did the donut thing, why did it take a whole month for you to get up the nerve to ask her out?
That's a great question.
Thank you.
It's too bad that we are late to break at 9:17. Oh. We got to go.
I think the truth is Mike had to clear the deck and clear the roster.
There you go, baby.
Mm-hmm. Had to make some waiver moves. I'm going to weigh in on this because Mike said to me after, he said, you know what? I think I'm ready to have a relationship, but not with somebody that's too needy. I need someone that has their own life. And I think I'm going to ask that Audrey out. And I was like, that girl is never going to say yes. Because who wants to go out with a guy who's like, I want to date you, but I don't want to be neat. We're not going to dinner during the week. I mean, he had all this whole list of things he gave
By the way, have any of his rules ever actually been followed?
I didn't know any of these rules.
Yeah, so obviously they haven't been followed.
Sandberg,
you coward.
Just opened up
you
a
coward.
Campy 11
months.
He
offered a whole meal of food in his email that he used to ask me out.
Always love a guy that draws a line with everybody except the person he's in the relationship with.
Wait.
So he sent you an email?
That's all of us.
He asked you out via email.
Via email?
Via email.
That was his first ask?
4 weeks later.
Dave, it's not like that. You know,
why not a text, Mike?
I didn't have her cell phone number.
See?
But here's the thing.
Dave, it's not like the 80s when we used to fax them.
I think it's chivalrous, though. I think it's nice you waited a few weeks
and this is the honest truth, and I have told her this. I wrote that draft that night, and I saved it for like 3 weeks. Like, I don't know if you've noticed this about me, Steve. I'm a bit of a perfectionist.
So yeah, a little bit.
I constantly
had to change the draft.
So I constantly was changing it. Because, you know, when you have that feeling, and I've not been the best relationship guy in the past, mostly my issues.
Well, you've learned from your mistakes.
Yeah. And I just had a feeling about this specific redhead that walked in the studio that day, and I said, all right, I think I'm ready for this. Because it wasn't one of those, I knew that it was going to go beyond one date. I just had a feeling.
But you were hopeful.
11 months later.
Yeah.
Audrey, I didn't know you guys had started dating for maybe a couple of weeks after, and Mike said, yeah, we're dating. And I said, that's awesome. Audrey's so cool. And he went, yeah, and I really like her.
How about that?
Isn't
that nice?
We all knew.
I know. I must have been like last on that list.
Mike, you better remember the year anniversary then. What is it?
June 19th.
June 23rd.
23rd?
Woo. June 23rd.
That was close.
Are you sure?
Close.
Better, that was
100%
good. I just had to check.
Very nice move by you, Audrey. And I don't mean dating Mike. I think that still is up for grabs.
Tax returns as charitable donation.
She could do it. It's a work-related donation.
Congratulations to both of you.
It's a good write-off.
All right, 9:20. We've got to take a break. We'll come back. 7:20 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 7:20 WGN.
Ah, the kids, huh? Mike and Audrey. And they're nice.
So cute.
Yeah. And I've got a place for them. I'm actually getting them a house.
Oh.
No, that's nice.
Getting them a castle.
What?
Italy is giving away 100 historic castles. Giving away castles, farmhouses, monasteries, giving them away for free in an effort to breathe new life into its public buildings that are no longer used or haven't been used properly. A new scheme unveiled by the country's government to run the state property agency. 103 ancient buildings will be up to grabs for entrepreneurs who promise to transform the locations into tourist destinations.
Wow.
You can have them, but you need to flip them and make them tourist stops.
Huh.
It's a pretty good deal, actually.
Yeah, no kidding.
Are they full of marshmallows?
No, that's cereal.
Oh, okay.
That's Lucky Charms. The disused properties are all situated along 8 historic routes running along the breadth of the country. And the islands of Sicily and Sardinia. Ooh. By the way, that's where the sardines come from. You know that, right? The Sardinia? Yeah. It's hoped the initiative will create a series of new facilities for hikers and bikers and cyclists and pilgrims and all tourists in general. The scheme, which is backed by the Ministry of Tourism, calls on applicants to submit a proposal outlining how they'll do it. So, excuse me, if you want a castle, you simply have to write an essay.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah, on your app.
So since you are going to get this castle for Mike and Audrey...
I got one for you, too.
Oh, nice.
A bigger one.
I'm ready for it.
Castle Andrea.
I love it.
Yeah.
Are you going to write the essay or do I have to?
You write it. I'll proofread it.
All right, good.
Deadline is June 26th. Work should commence next summer. And specific preferences are given to the people who apply who are under 40, like you.
Perfect.
Who are under age 40 because they want them to be around for a long time.
Mm-hmm. That's
so, nice. It's a cool idea, right?
I think it's a great idea.
Right.
How many bathrooms?
Well, it depends on the castle.
The big one. Like 19 bathrooms?
If you want 19, we'll put another one. There's 18. We'll put another one
okay,
in.
Okay, good.
Now, once you're done with your castle and you and it's over for you, you're thinking, what am I going to do with my ashes? Here's another story that there's no other place for on the show than right here. As a matter of fact, this is a new feature I'm calling It Only Fits Here.
I love okay? it.
Love it.
Elysium Space, a company that's called Memorial Space Flights, say they're almost ready to blast your loved one's ashes into space.
Oh, my God.
Now, let me just preface this by saying... Spike isn't sick. He's perfectly fine. He's healthy and well. But wouldn't this be a great way to send Spike off?
How do they know? How do you know that they're really taking the ashes up there and that's what they're...
Oh, it's the honor system.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Now, the average funeral will run you 10 or 15 grand, won't it?
Oh, maybe more.
I don't know. I haven't paid for one yet.
Yeah. They're not cheap.
Yeah, I think they're around there.
Yeah, because, and you know, Mary, one of the real things you have to do at a funeral is, if your immediate family, is you have to go into the casket shopping center.
It's terrible. Yeah. It's so awful.
It really is awful.
It
but
is terrible.
It's at that point where I think a lot of families have to go, how much did we like him?
Right. And
did
then,
we like him this much or did we like him brass handles?
Exactly. And there's different colors, too.
Right.
You know, the
different kinds of wood.
The more ornate that you want it as well.
So you're saying this might be a bargain then?
I'm saying this could save you some dough. And send them off into space in style. $2,490 will get it done.
$2,400. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is this being shipped expensive. On a spacecraft?
Yeah. Yeah. Blast you into outer space.
I mean,
yeah.
But not like just the ashes.
Yeah. Well, no, I think considering it would cost $81 million to send one living astronaut into space, this is really a deal. Here's how it works. After you place your order, the San Francisco company will send you a kit along with an engraved box to place. Up to all of the ashes. He can put a small amount in as well. Then ship them back to the company headquarters. Multiple boxes, of course, will go on the ship at one time in a space-ready container and placed in a capsule on the Elon Musk SpaceX Falcon 9. After blastoff, you can track your loved one's epic space journey through the company's app.
Oh, no.
Look! There's Grandpa.
Oh, my God. Is this real? This sounds suspect to
totally
me.
True. Over the Falcon 9's two-year expedition. So let's say, let's say it's been a couple of months. You're going, I wonder how Pops is doing. You kick on the app, and there you go. Well, look at that. He's still up there.
But they're not leaving him up there?
In the last poetic moment, the spacecraft will harmlessly re-enter the Earth's atmosphere, blazing as a shooting star. I don't know if the ashes go out with the ship or if the ship returns whole. I don't know the answer to that.
I bet they dump it when they get to the top, like right at the top of the orbit.
Well, you can't open a window. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How do they release the, you know, when they have the catheters?
See,
stuff?
I would think a spacewalk.
Release that?
I think a spacewalk, you take the box.
Sprinkle.
And you float.
A little ceremony.
The box float out in there. Yeah.
Get a little spade.
It's kind of. I just love that there's an app.
That's fantastic.
I think it's called Where's Grandpa Now?
You want this, don't you? Is this a hint?
No, I was thinking more of Spike, but no, I'd like to go into space. I'd like to be alive when I go into space. Spike would, too.
But this is a great last resort.
For people only half listening, Spike is fine.
Right.
Spike is fine. No worries. 928, back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
9:41, we continue live on CLTV and here on 720 WGN. I've said it before and I'll say it again. You have to go through some of the worst things in life to realize how blessed you are. But it amazes me, through all the people we meet through this show, what some people have survived with and have been able to get up the next day. Not only put one foot in front of the other, but also try to reach out and help others, considering what they've been through. And I could give you a list a mile long of folks like this, but none of them more impressive than the Van Houten family. Tracy Huvelman, who produced my show briefly.
Right, wasn't it for like 6 weeks or something?
Yeah, like 6 weeks. She produced Spike Show for 20 years, worked with me for 6 weeks.
Right.
But Tracy's great, and Tracy was friends, or is friends, with the Van Houten family, and introduced me to Tracy Van Houten, you're going to meet in just a second, and his wife, Jen. And they've been to hell and back, and they continue to reach out and try to help others. Tracy joins us now. Good morning, sir.
Hi, Steve. How are you this morning?
I am fine. Thanks for doing this. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, absolutely. Good to be talking with you again.
The Noah's Hope Cupcake Classic 5K this Sunday in Downers Grove. If you can't make it, please donate. NoahsHope.com/cupcake. Noah and, well, let's start with Noah. Noah had Batten disease. What is Batten disease?
So Batten disease is a incredibly rare and universally fatal childhood disease. It starts to affect kids at about age 3. And sometimes I try to explain it to people as imagine taking ALS and Alzheimer's and putting that in a 3-year-old child who was perfectly normal at that time, and then watching them just completely disappear, really, over the next 4 or 5 years. Lose all abilities.
And it's incredibly painful to even consider, let alone go through it. And you talk about the rarity of it. I mean, how rare is it?
Well, we're currently estimating there's maybe somewhere between 1,200 and 1,500 cases of this worldwide.
Worldwide.
Right, right.
It's just incredible. And Noah passed away last year. I think he was 11 years old, right?
Yeah, just a little shy of his 12th birthday last March.
God bless you, man. I don't know how you guys do it, and like I said, put one foot in front of the other every day. But here you are to try to raise money, because when a disease is this rare, the research dollars just aren't there, right?
That's true, Steve. It's the NIH is the major resource and funding arm of our government, and just due to its rarity, doesn't get a lot of that funding. There is funding coming from NIH, but in effort to really conquer diseases that are rare, like Batten disease, more funds need to be raised in the private sector.
And a lot of this comes from folks like you or families. Though there's not a lot of you who go, well, I don't want any other families to go through what we went through, what we're going through, so we're going to do everything we can, which is why Sunday is so important. NoahsHope.com/cupcake. Again, if you can't make it for the 5K in Downers, please contribute. How's Lane doing, little sis?
You know, Lane is, she's doing well. She's very, very far progressed in the disease. She'll be coming up on 11 and a half here. But she's still going to school every day, enjoying being with her teachers and her sisters and her family, doing various outings. So she's doing pretty good, all things considered.
And God bless you for that, too. And the support that you guys have, aside from your immediate family, people mean well, but is it hard to constantly explain what this is? I mean, to me, the frustration is, you know, I've only spoken to you a couple of times about it, but people generally, I mean, it's hard for people to hear your kids are going through this.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's strange because over the years, you know, we become a little bit more accustomed to it. It becomes part of our lives. We interact with a lot of other families going through the same thing we are, whether or not it's Batten disease or other rare diseases. You know, we've just sort of gravitated to those folks. So it has sort of become our new normal. But even that didn't really sit all that well with us. So, you know, over the past few years, we've been fundraising and putting those funds to work. And, you know, we had some pretty good news a few weeks ago.
And what's the good news being a breakthrough?
Yeah, well, actually, on April 21st, which would have been Noah's birthday, we got some good news out of Europe that a drug that we funded or co-funded some early research on, got a favorable opinion out of the EU. Then on April 27th, we actually got notice from the FDA
It was a little after noon. My phone started ringing, and with good news that the FDA had approved this drug. So this is the first drug ever approved to treat any form of Batten disease.
It's incredible because in the notes it says, to Tracy, it's not a cure, but the treatment replaces the enzymes, and it could actually stop or delay how quickly the disease progresses.
And that's huge because you're buying time.
Yeah.
Right. This is definitely a treatment. It's not a cure, which is where we want to be someday, and that's what we're using funding ongoing from here to fund, is trying to find a cure for this. But in this disease, the kids are missing this enzyme that breaks down waste material in the brain. So if this waste material accumulates, that's what causes the brain cells to die and problems to happen. So by synthetically making this enzyme, giving it back to the kids, I got to tell you, Steve, seeing the data presented at a couple of research conferences that I was at was really an incredible moment.
Well, it had to be, and what an amazing little angel legacy that it happened on his birthday.
Yeah, that was great news out of the EU. It'll still take another several months to get the hopefully get the approval in Europe, but we think we're on the right path for Europe, and we are approved now in the U.S.
Do we have any idea through the research and all that you've come to know and the medical degree you didn't ever want to have, do we have any idea why it attacks kids this way? And I mean, does it ever attack adults?
There are a few even rarer forms of Batten disease that do attack adults. We actually were down in Florida about a month or so ago and had dinner with a woman who has the adult form. So, you know, especially for those, and those forms are even more rare. So especially for those super rare forms of Batten disease, you know, we're talking about, you know, I was saying 1,200 for our form. For these adult forms, there may be, you know, 25 to 50 cases worldwide at any given time.
How do you even comprehend that?
Yeah,
it's incredible. Where are you and your wife, you know, emotionally? I mean, you know, aside from the good days, bad days cliche, is it anger that drives you at this point? Is it just we've got to do right by the future of other kids and, of course, obviously Lainey? I mean, how do you keep going? I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm just unbelievably impressed that you do.
You know, as we get to know more of these families and these little kids that they have that are much earlier in the disease, you know, they remind us so much of Noah and Lane, and that the fight isn't over, that they need treatments just as much as anyone. So with our, you know, with our partners, Hope for Bridget, who's partnered with Noah's Hope, and our national organization, the Batten Disease Support and Research Association, you know, we're going to keep the fight going.
It's one of the more cruel things you could ever imagine in all of us. Whether you have healthy kids or not, I mean, everybody, whether you have kids or not, I hope you'll step up and make a contribution. And if you can, come out Sunday. It looks like much better weather day, though, too, this weekend.
Yeah.
Come out Sunday to Downers. Where are you doing it in Downers?
We're doing it over at McCollum Park, which is up like 67th Street in Maine.
Okay. Yeah, I know the park, actually. NoahsHope.com/cupcake. You're doing a great thing, however you can contribute. In general, for more information on Batten and to do whatever you can there, where do you send people?
You can go to our website, which is noahshope.com. And our national organization is bdsra.org.
And I'm sure you'll link it off your site, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so just go to Noah's Hope. Go to noahshope.com and help any way you can. Well, again, Tracy, I couldn't be a bigger fan of you and your wife and your family and Lane. Keep up the good fight and let us know any way we can help.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today. And we're looking for good weather and a good turnout at our 5K and 1 mile kids run on Sunday.
Have fun Sunday. NoahsHope.com/cupcake. The Cupcake Classic 5K Sunday in Downers. Those are amazing people.
Absolutely. What they've been through.
And what they go through every single day. 9:51. We'll come back. Bill and Wendy on the way. And we're back. It's 9:54. Bill and Wendy coming up, as I said, and in case you missed the results, they're still coming in, but we believe Bill won his tennis match the other day. Samberg.
We're doing this cool thing on Tuesday, the whole station. We're going to demonstrate greatness. It's about encouraging people to give money for all day long to create summer jobs for kids. And so they've
This is in cooperation with the city, right?
Yes. And with the McCormick Foundation in particular.
Yep.
And so we're going to be talking to somebody from there on our show on Tuesday. But for this effort, they've asked us all to record a set, like a little thing that says a summer job or a mentor or somebody that made a difference in your life, because that's what we're trying to do for
Should I talk about when I worked for Arthur Treacher's Fish and Chips for 2 days?
Well, that might be good. But
how about when I was a caddy and the two women that I double bagged for gave me a 50-cent tip?
No, that's probably not what they're looking for. So I did a lot of work with the Illinois Special Recreation Association, so that's what I'm going to go with. But I was running it by my dad just to make sure I wasn't missing something, because sometimes you forget stuff from your youth. And he said, well, maybe you can talk about the paper route you had where your mom and I delivered all the papers, and I never delivered any of the papers.
Oh, you don't remember that?
I remember it.
She didn't deliver any of the papers.
I didn't deliver. On Saturday mornings, I'd be at sleepovers or at a sport, and my parents would be getting calls from people that lived in the neighborhood.
Where's my paper?
And they would have to, like, my poor mom would go out and deliver the papers.
I wouldn't, yeah. Mary, I wouldn't put that
but
down
I got
your
paid.
First summer job.
I did collect the paycheck, but I didn't do any of the work.
How about this? Is this what you're thinking of? When I was working at the movie theater, and Animal House came out, and I let the whole football team in, and I got fired. How about that? Is that what you're looking for?
I don't think I would use that as your first summer
job.
Somehow
I feel like I'm
well.
Missing this.
You're supposed to say, my first summer job, okay, so I was a bagger at Jewel. And then you talk about someone who influenced you, like a mentor, you know, maybe your first boss who sent you.
Well, the assistant manager there was Ken. He was a jerk. He's the guy that fired me. I think his name was Ken.
So we have to have a positive experience now.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. Steve, you got any of those?
I don't know. I get fired a lot.
That trend continued, I think,
even
later
in
on
summer.
In life.
What? Really? All right. So is there something people should know before Tuesday about this?
No. I just...
But we're doing it all day long?
All day long on Tuesday, yeah.
Okay.
But, so be thinking about... And maybe listeners, if they wanted to contribute...
Yeah, your summer job.
Yeah, they could let us know. Because, Dave, did you have one?
I had lots of summer jobs. I had...
Remember when you used to deliver stone tablets to the other villages?
Well, I did that for a while, but I broke too many windows.
Yeah, those are
heavy. But I was a driver for NBC. I think I've told you this. During Watergate, it was the summer of Watergate, of Nixon's resignation.
Yeah, I knew you were involved in that.
And they had me driving around in a U-Haul van in D.C. and delivering food to the crews and whatever. And I've told this story on the air before. I pulled up at the White House gate, because back then you could drive on Pennsylvania Avenue right up to the White House.
Yep.
And so I had this food to deliver to the crew there, and the guards came out because there was a death watch going on with people at the gate. They saw a U-Haul van pull up, and they thought, okay, he's going.
Yep.
So I got chased out of there by the White House guards.
Like the nicest guy ever getting chased out of the White House.
All right, so Tuesday, what's it called?
It is called...
The Big Job Thing.
One Summer Chicago.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Cummins 410, Bill and Wendy coming up.